And now let's move on to the next case study before the round table. It is a pleasure to introduce Rick Springer. He will talk about the Neanderthal Museum from Germany. He is a data analyst. He's got a sound trajectory in museum research. He's got a master's program in archaeology. The Neanderthal Museum, he worked as an audience researcher and he directed audience segmentation based on motivation and the project experience of virtual reality participatory development for a game at the museum. With this project, he started researching on audience research that is still going on at the museum. So, Rick, you've got the floor.
Buen día. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and really excited for the invitation to present the project that I led for the Neanderthal Museum in 2022 to 2023, Digital Audience Analysis, Segmentation Based on Motivation. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. To get started, I want to give you a short impression of the Neanderthal Museum and its surroundings, because it's really critical for the project. So it's not just the Neanderthal Museum, but it's there's actually more offers in the Neander Valley. So the museum is situated in a valley flanked by rock formations, and there's hiking trails and biking trails. There's a lookout point where there used to be the discovery site of the first identified Neanderthal. There's the Stone Age themed playground, and there is a Ice Age game reserves along the hiking trails. So people can actually not only visit the museum, but also there's other offers in the Neanderthal Valley. And this is important for us, because we didn't only want to know, okay, do visitors come to the valley just to see the museum, or do they also come to, yeah, enjoy the outside offers? And we just wanted to quantify that as well. But coming back to the museum, just to get you started on the museum, it's a rather medium-sized museum with 26 persons and staff. It was established in 1996, and it has approximately 160,000 visitors per year. The museum strives to finance itself, which it does to a large extent via over ticket sales, workshop bookings, and tour bookings and donations. It is active in research projects and networks. It builds a community through outreach projects and festivals that it organizes in the summer, for example, and it sees itself as a beacon for science communication. So it really wants to bring out the science behind evolution, genetics, archaeology, and this is a really important part of its mission. And this is important to understand the museum. Yes. And to get us started, so back in 2020, when I started at the museum as a trainee in the exhibition department, it was right when COVID hit. And we were one of those museums who had to cope with the situations, and we experimented and created digital offers. But at the end of 2022, we said, okay, was it worth it? What did come out of this? And we wanted to evaluate. So we had a digital strategy, but we didn't really have KPIs or anything that we could like quantify our success. And so that's when we had the idea for the project. And but we also wanted to know, like, why do people visit us digitally, and why do they visit us physically? So this was kind of the idea behind the project. And we started out to map where people would get in contact with the museum, and we saw that on a digital level, the website works as our flagship in the digital realm. So, and the good thing is we are collecting data. As Casey said, we have a lot of data, so we didn't need to implement anything else. So we started from there. Going from this, we continue to review research, like case studies that were in the same situation as us, and who did research already. And we followed with a segmentation on motivation. So we wanted to ask, why do people visit the museum? What is their driving motivation? We continued conducting surveys online and on site. So the survey was set up via the website, but also distributed through newsletters and emails. And we also conducted surveys in the museum and outside of the museum. So to get feedback from the people that wasn't represented only by the survey. And finally, we evaluated the data and visualized it and distributed it over a little report, which is downloadable on the website of the Neanderthal Museum. And yes, yeah, some core questions I already mentioned. We wanted to know, where do people come from? Where do they come from digitally? What do they look for? Why do people visit the website? Why do they visit the museum? And yeah, we also wanted to know if the things that we think drives our visitors to see us are the things they actually think as well of. So is it the motivation we think they have, or is it something else? So just to quantify this. Yes. And so we started out with the analysis of the website, and we quickly saw that on a technical level, our website was not really working well for our visitors because it was still optimized for desktop PCs. But we quickly saw that 60% of our visitors reached us through mobile devices. It was really a pain to navigate, like on a little screen, to the subpages. So this was a thing that we realized first thing. But we also saw that we got a lot of referrals from other sites. And when we looked at the other sites, we saw that, for example, these two are publishers for school books. So we saw that all the transitions from these publishers must be visitors who have some interest in educational material. Yeah, and then these three sites are touristic sites which mention or link directly to the outside offers of the museum. So we could see through these transitions from these sites that the people weren't really interested in the museum itself, but the educational material it offered and the outside offers. Then we also looked at the landing pages to really get the motivation. Okay, what are they looking for and do they find it? We saw that a lot of people ended up, yeah, just looking at the tickets and prices. So they were basically planning their visit. They looked for news on temporary exhibitions, and they checked arrival and parking. So basically everything that is connected to the organization of a visit or to be informed about events and exhibitions. So this was the first thing we did to get us started. And then we continued with a survey. So the web analysis already showed us, okay, the people are interested in visiting the museum, but also the outside office. So we had to represent that in the motivation segments that we created as well. And what we did was we did three consecutive workshops inside the museum with our team, and we clustered all the motivations we could think of and came up with these eight segments. And they are probably familiar to most of you because they are also inspired by some of the audience research that has been done already. So we have the recharge and relaxation segment. We have the fun and entertainment segment. We have new experiences, so people that look for experiences outside of their ordinary day lives. We have people who look for accessible leisure and quality time in a group. We have people who look for social contact and the sense of home, so they look towards to learning something about their home and their community. We have the people who are just interested in learning and growing personally, professionals who seek exchange and research. And we have a segment called nature activity, which reflects the people or we should cover the people that are actually looking for, yeah, outside activities. And the results are for a segmentation. So we ask for a main motivation, and later on we ask for underlying motivations, so motivations that also played a role. The main motivations showed us that, well, first of all the 2,112 participants, 31% did not visit the museum. But the rest could give a main motivation for visiting, and the largest segment, as we heard before, is the learning and personal growth segment for us as well. The second segment that is really important is the fun and entertainment segment, so that is really important. And we have a third, the nature. So this is a little confusing by the colors, but this is actually the nature activity segment. So these are the three segments that are, after the survey, the most relevant to our museum. And when asked about the underlying motivations, we can see this is really true. So these are the bars for fun and entertainment. This is a bar saying educating children and grandchildren is really important. So these are the highest bars. Then we have an exciting trip for everybody and ensuring everybody has a good time. So this is also like a social motivation, which we also saw. So the social motivation, the learning motivation is really important, but also again, the time spending outside in the valley and combining a trip to nature with education as well. And the least important ones, I'm sorry, was the contact to experts. And free ad which is nice, the next ones, that it's not only free admission and special offers to drive our visitors to come because there's nothing else to do. And to compare these segments, we visualize them in this way in a profile. So, and this is interesting because we can see actually differences, even though we didn't have the time to really correlate them to each other. We could show that there's still peaks in each profile. So, for example, the fun and entertainment profile or segment, there we, of course, looking for fun and entertainment, but they're really not interested in learning anything, or at least they say so. And this is really different for the people who say their main motivation is to learn something. So they, of course, enjoy fun, but their most important aspect about their visit is to learn something about their identity, to learn something about Neanderthals, or just get new impulses. And then we have the third segment. I'm not going to go into every segment because they also correlate partially really strong. So these are the ones that kind of are distinct enough to call them a segment or a prototype segment. Here we see that the activities in nature, they are really strong in this segment. So this is also kind of distinct, but also they when looking at the segment of the rechargers, they are really similar in this way that they look for rest and relaxation, but also outside activities. Moving on to the digital part of the survey, so we have 13 items covering demographic, the motivation, and the digital use of our office and our website. We see that of all the visitors, 70% almost have used our website, so that is already really good. But we also have like a fourth of the visitors who did not use their website prior to the visit. Then we ask, okay, of the digital content that you have used on the website, or have you used digital content? And if so, what was it? So, and we see that approximately 25% of the visitors have also used digital content, being trailer for a special exhibition, they downloaded pictures or worksheets, so we have educational material on our website, they downloaded that, for example, they took part in an online workshop or stuff like that. But this is only 25% of all the visitors, so it's not that much. But almost half of every visitor said they're still interested in digital content, which is a good sign, although this is always difficult to interpret because just because a digital offer is wanted doesn't mean it gets consumed in the afterwards. So that is a bit tricky. Moving on. We asked, okay, what was it that you looked for on the website? And we see again the results of the tracking match the results of the survey. So people planning their trip, looking for directions, prices, and opening hours. They look for news and events. And this is the thing that we didn't see in the tracking or didn't look for in the tracking, maybe, that a lot of people are interested in offers for children and family. But this is still firms the segments that we have. So people looking for quality time and a time together. And finally, we asked, okay, if you had a wish, like what kind of digital content would you appreciate? And people had troubles answering that, especially when they were asked like in person. So in the survey, we gave them some possible answers. And also here we see that the educational material was really important to a lot of them. So people use this expertise that we have and take it and use it in their context, be it a birthday, be it in schools, be it in classes. So this is actually the content that probably works the best for our museum. Next to the trailers for the special exhibition, they were also appreciated really well. Yeah, to wrap up, we can say that the website is used for digital visitors as information hub. They plan their trips. They plan their trips not only to the museum, but also to the Neander Valley in general. I talked about the technical things, so it's important to consider that as well. It wasn't optimized for the visitor. It wasn't user-centered. And we also saw that, from all the visitors participating, 50% said they were at least interested in digital offers by the museum. Furthermore, we distinguished three segments that were relevant to the museum. So the first one being the learning and personal growth. The second one, fun and entertainment. And the third one, which still needs refinement, I think, is the nature activity segment. But it is there, obviously, for us. For us, a learning was also that the survey was fairly easy implemented and the output was really well. So we got within a month. In the April 2023, we conducted the survey, and within the month, we had 2,000 responses to the survey, so that was really good. And to wrap up everything, the impact of this project was that in 2023, we relaunched our website, and we actually, when you look at the website today, the user journey for these segments is much more clear. So before we had more options, and now if you're a family who want to plan a visit, then you press this button and then you go directly to your, to the ticket, the offer, whatsoever. If you need information on the outdoors offer, that's another button. And if you plan to, if you're a teacher or if you need information for classes, that's another thing. And it's all mobile first, so it's more user-friendly than it has been before. And the motivations are still being used. So right now there's a redesign of the valley happening, kind of. So they want to offer more things outside of the museum. And therefore, these segments always play a role when, doing the concept for these new exhibits and offers. And that was my part for the Neanderthal. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your really interesting presentation on the project. We also have some time for questions in the audience, if there are any. If not, I have quite a few questions. To start off, I'm sure that many of the museums here would love to have data analyst specialists like you on their teams. I'm sure more than one are thinking about this. I wanted to ask you about, so with your study, you segmented the audiences based on motivation, and you used this segmentation, in this case you gave us, for the renewal of the website. I wanted to ask you, how have you used this segmentation, or how are they being used today when it comes to programming exhibits or in the museum and for communication purposes?
So maybe more general, it's also about for the museum, for example, we are, or I always say we, the Neanderthal Museum has changing temporary exhibitions every year right now. So the next is coming up is about migration, opening up at 22th November, I think. And for them, it's also really important, okay, which topic do we tackle and which do we leave? So we know, for example, there's exhibitions which are really well perceived, but they are not focused on learning. They are just focused on a special topic, which is fun, which gives people, yeah, pleasure, but it's not really about disseminating information on a certain topic. So I think about like a toy exhibition on Playmobil, for example. So it can be titled Archaeological Journey, but it doesn't really content like the researchers or the people who really want to dig deeper. So, and for us, this segmentation was good because it also showed us that people are interested. People want to dig deeper. They do not want to like skim or swim. They want to dive into the information sometimes. So this is a part that helped also to argue with stakeholders. I mean, we can get the best exhibitions, which do not, I don't know, do not serve every research standard, but people actually look to us, look to the museums, and they want to learn. So, and that was one thing for me, at least, that was really important. So when I argue to stakeholders, I say, okay, they do want this. They do want the research content. Yeah.
Gracias.
Thank you. If there are any questions in the room, if not, I have more. I wanted to ask you the following question. Do you believe that these segmentation models that you are using could be applied to smaller museums or museums with fewer resources? In any case, what would be your advice for museums that want to start using these segmentation studies?
What I like about segmentation is, or especially segmentation based on motivation, is that it doesn't serve this persona thinking. So when you talk about motivations, you do not maybe you have an image of that motivation combined to a person, but it's not as if we go for demographics and we say, okay, we want to do offers for retired people, we want to do offers for families. This is much more diverse. So this is the thing that I like about motivation. And sorry, could you repeat the
no, in recommendation for
right. So what I think Casey was saying in the beginning, sometimes it's just very easy to just go to the museum and sit down and observe the visitors. And that's like the quick and dirty way, but it helps you so much. So you don't need to prepare a big survey, but rather sit incognito in the exhibition and watch out what works well and what works not so well. And pretty much this gives you a lot of data, even though you don't need to do much. So this is the first thing. And for the segmentation, I think the tools that can be used. They are all there. They are free. So you don't need to do, or you don't need to use Google Forms. You can also use other free tools like Matomo, for example, which is also able, like you can use Matomo on your own servers. So you don't need to fear, because we didn't tackle that topic of data governance and security, but you store the data on your servers, which can also be important. And yeah, so it's doable. And you just need to be clear and ask the right questions, I think. So you get a lot of data, but you need to have clear questions. So, and we, for example, I also had to learn that in the beginning.
So thank you very much for this remarkable project. The last one.
Sorry, I found what you said about the fact that what people are aiming to do in your museum and what you want people to come and do in your museum very interesting. At the end of the day, museums are institutions that do research or that are guided towards a purpose or research. And we like having researchers to come. We have a garden or outdoor space, but we want them to come to learn about Neanderthal. So what is the ideal mix between one profile and the other? Technically speaking, in the museum, who thought about this and how did you come to take a decision on the perfect mix of visitors?
Thank you for the question. We worked that out together. Like I said, we had these workshops. And I, for my part, found it really important to have everybody on board. On first point, because the swarm knowledge kind of the people that have been working there for 20 years, they know their visitors or they know a lot about them. That's why it's prototype segments, right? Because they need refinement still. But it was also important to get the directors and the board on board and to also show them, okay, if you have these segments, this is how you can use them. So if you want to create new offers in the Neanderthal Valley, okay, so which types of people do I want to target and how can I motivate them? So, and this was a good thing, I think, and helped me to communicate and argue that the program is worth it, I'd say. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.